always prepared for the worst, those Brits. Yes, indeed. What's the agenda going to be this week? Todd Zwillich joins us, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, John.
Charlie Herman's also here, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC, our flagship station here in New York. Charlie, what's this week going to be all about, do you think?
Drama, as in Greek drama.
Yeah, Greek drama, exactly. Greek drama and also some drama in Washington. Todd Zwillich, what do you think this week's going to be about?
Let's hope it's not about tragedy, so I'm going with deadlines.
All right, so last act of Medea for both of you here. Let's get ready for the next few minutes. Todd, the showdown over the debt ceiling as we get closer and closer to the sort of Greek moment in Washington on our own sovereign debt means that Washington is increasingly devoted to figuring out when we're actually going to up this debt limit or actually cut the spending levels like the GOP is trying to link the debt limit to all the budget battles going on in Washington.
They are, and those negotiations are really heating up. John, they've been going on a couple meetings a week for the last few weeks. This week, they're really, really heating up because there's a deadline approaching. I caught up with the chief negotiator on this, the Vice President Joe Biden himself, late last week in the halls of Congress. He described it this way. Listen to Biden.
Now, this next week, we're going to be going basically the staff around the clock. We have, I think, 4 meetings scheduled. We've told people to take bigger chunks of time out of their calendar for these meetings. And now we're getting down to the real hard stuff. I'll trade you my bicycle for your golf clubs. Okay? That's it.
It doesn't sound like the hard stuff.
Here's the thing. Biden's point is they've done the easy stuff. They've talked about discretionary spending. They've talked about spending on federal programs, which was really contentious before. Remember the conversations on the shutdown a few months ago? That was only $38 billion. John, they're trying to find a way to save $4 trillion. So that's a lot of bicycles, and that's a lot of golf clubs.
Curious metaphor for the vice president.
And I'm sure
he's the champion. Charlie, let me just say one sec what the hard stuff is. Just real quick, because here's what they're talking about. Republicans have said no tax increases whatsoever, but there may be some movement on other ways to raise revenue, get more money coming in. Democrats have said we're not touching Medicare. What they mean is we're not touching Medicare benefits for grandma and grandpa, but there might be other ways to find savings in Medicare, adjusting that program so that both sides can win, so that you can get some money coming in, so that you can save on Medicare. It's the budget buster. That's what's coming up this week.
Food, water, Medicare, bicycles, golf clubs, the basic necessities. Charlie Herman.
But they're basically acknowledging, as Todd I'm sure knows, that Mitch McConnell this weekend talking about, well, maybe we'll have August 2nd isn't quite the deadline. Maybe we'll just have a temporary extend the debt limit a little bit while we work this out into the fall. It feels a little bit like the continuing resolution that we went through at the earlier part of this year where they couldn't make a decision. They sort of kept putting it off.
Part of the flexibility comes from Bernanke's qualitative easing program,
the quantitative
right?
Easing.
They can invent money and pay bills that way, right?
No, not really. I mean, that is sort of a separate program. There's a fiscal, which is what the Congress has oversight of, and then there's monetary policy. That's what the Federal Reserve has oversight of, and that program, the quantitative easing or QE2, is coming to an end at the end of this month, and
when that ends, then there's no flexibility.
They made it pretty clear they're not going to continue, and that it was just more a system of putting money into the economy. That's sort of separate from the Treasury Department being able to go out and get money to be able to pay for basic services like Medicare, Medicaid, that sort of thing.
All right, so making hard decisions is hard enough in Washington, but it's really hard over there in Athens. So what's the issue on Greek sovereign debt this week that dominated the finances last week?
Well, there was this meeting yesterday that went into early this morning of several of the finance ministers from the EU zone, and basically they put off making this loan to Greece, which the country desperately needs. They said they'd give it to them perhaps in July. But they want Greece to implement some really harsh austerity measures, including more tax cuts. More tax hikes and spending cuts. And in a way, it's a similar sort of discussion that we're having here in this country of if you want to get your books balanced, one thing you can do is increase taxes and cut spending. What we're having here in the U.S. is we want to cut spending, but the Republicans don't want to increase taxes. What we're seeing in Greece is a different version, same song, of what we're facing with here. And the worry is, does it have a ripple effect? Does it end up impacting the overall European Union? And like Lehman Brothers, have all these unintended consequences.
That's the contagion thing. The ripple that's kind of ironic here in the United States is that there's been a flight to Treasury bills. U.S. debt is suddenly a safety haven for money right now, which means that the Federal Reserve doesn't necessarily have an incentive to raise interest rates.
Which they are not expected to do. The big question is, what does Bernanke say at his press conference on Wednesday after they announced that they probably 99.9% likely don't increase interest rates?
And they're close to zero right now. Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC. Todd Zwillick, the biggest state in the United States, I believe, could possibly vote on a bill to make gay marriage legal. New York State. What's the national significance of that, do you think?
Whoops, I think California is the biggest state in the union, but New York is a close second, right, John? Well, there's a...
aren't they sort of caught in the courts?
Texas?
In California? I mean, the biggest state to actually declare it...
That has it in play.
The biggest state to make it legal, I'm saying.
True. Okay, you're right. And there's a lot going on right there in New York this very week with that. The New York State Senate could vote as early as today. Unlikely today. Today is the last official scheduled day of the session in the New York State Senate. Governor Andrew Cuomo has a same-sex legalization bill, same-sex marriage legalization bill. Now, here's the problem there, John. They need only one more vote. They have two Republicans in support of passing this thing, but they need one more to get it over the line, and that can be the toughest thing on social legislation. Sometimes you want to have a safety zone of we've got it by four or five votes because no one wants to be the last person, especially in this case the last Republican, to vote for it. Now, five states already have legalized same-sex marriage. We know that. But there's a Washington angle to this. The president comes to New York City on Thursday. He has a number of fundraisers. One of them is with a major group of gay donors. They have been upset with the president over a lot of his positions on gay rights. Now, the White House, of course, was behind the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They've distanced themselves from defending the Defense of Marriage Act. So they've done a lot, but there's still a lot of dissatisfaction. The president's coming up to try to raise money this very week from the people who are a little bit tepid on supporting him now.
Finally, some statistical sort of impenetrability on the housing market. Last week, building permits were up 9%, but new construction only up 2%. We're going to get more numbers this week. Any clarity in the housing market other than
it still probably stinks, basically. And with prices weak and the lack of confidence amongst consumers about home prices, it's really hard to get people to make that sale and to make that purchase, I should say.
And how big is the line outside your pad, Charlie, you're trying to sell?
We're trying to sell, and as like optimists say, always got to be positive.
Ouch. Greek tragedy comes home to Charlie Herman, the economics editor for The Takeaway.
At a great place.
Yes. And Todd Zwillick, thanks so much.
Willing to deal, folks.
Todd, are you going to work for Biden now that you've had so much time with him over the weekend?
No, he's going to trade his bicycle. Didn't you hear?
What kind of bike does he have? Ducati. See you later, Todd.
Bye, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.